Hello, and welcome back to Strength is More Than a Word podcast with your host, Leo Burnside. In last episode, I had my good friend Nava come on the show and talk about her mental health battles with gymnastics and how hard it was for her to overcome certain things. She absolutely crushed it, and I couldn't thank her more for coming on and being brave to tell her story. This week, I have another guest who's very, very close to me, and I'll let you introduce her right now.
Hi, so I'm so excited to be here. My name is Hayden Burnside. I'm Leo's sister. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a rising junior at UNC Charlotte, and I'm studying nursing.
Yep, I finally got her on the show. It took long enough, but I finally got her on the show. All right, so, you know, the icebreaker question is, what is something that's unique about you?
Something that's unique about me is I was a competitive dancer for 16 years.
Yeah, definitely knew that one. And then what is the whole idea of the podcast is about strength. And so how would you define strength in your personal terms?
I think strength is not something you're born with, and strength is something that, like, grows with you over time. I don't think any one individual is stronger than another. We all face different battles in life, and I think strength is the way that you handle the battles. I don't really think that there is one definition for the word strength. I think there's so much that goes into strength. I mean, strength is how you hold yourself, how you get through difficult times, times that you never thought that you could get through. Strength is overcoming things and becoming a better person because of the things that you went through instead of letting it overcome you. I think that strength for me means overcoming tough times and becoming a better person because of it. I think that sometimes, like, mental health and trauma can be so suffocating and feel so permanent. And I think that strength is how you take these things that you go through and turn it into something that changes your life for the better.
Yep, I completely agree with that. I like what you said about how you're not born with strength. It's almost like it's an adaptation, almost like throughout life it's going to grow, whether that's physically or mentally. And I think that's just a super important thing, is that no matter who you are or who you've been around, your environment, anything, strength always, you know, it always grows, whether, yeah, like I said, it's physical or mental.
Yeah, I mean, like, a weightlifter doesn't wake up one day with, like, huge muscles and able to lift, like, 600 pounds, like, it's a gradual process, and that's exactly what strength, like, emotional strength is too. Like, physical strength and emotional strength, like, are more similar than a lot of people think. Like, emotional strength is built up over time through the battles that life gives you.
And also, like what you said about what it means to you being that, you know, it's about how you can overcome adversities and grow from it. I think that's really important, because I think a lot of people are afraid to face those adversities, or when they're in those adversities, they don't know how to kind of get out of it, and they almost want to give up. And so when you go through something and you're going through that adversity, if you go through that hump, it's just showing how much more strength is growing in you. And even if you don't, like, feel it, like, physical strength, at least, like, your mental side is just getting so much stronger, even, like, just behind the scenes. All right, and then the question about is, what brought you on the show, and what's your main, you know, trauma, I guess?
I mean, I would say, like, I know this show is, like, surrounded around, like, mental health and, like, coping with mental health, and mental health is something that I've struggled with for, like, as long as I can remember. I don't think there was a point in my life where I didn't struggle with my mental health. Like, I grew up learning to deal with my mental health, and I grew up in a world of perfectionism as a dancer, and I needed to be the best at everything. It wasn't, nothing was fun. Like, everything was just constant work. And I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder at like 9 years old, pretty much like as early as you can be diagnosed. And, you know, I've always struggled with depression and anxiety. And like, as I got older, it became crippling, and I started to let it take control of me instead of controlling it. And I think that my mental health is something that I've always struggled with. And as I got to adulthood, I think it's something that I finally got under control. Like, I took control of my mental health, and I started to finally understand the way that I was feeling and how I could cope with the way that I was feeling. Like, I knew that I struggled with these things, and I learned how to deal with the things that I was feeling instead of just letting them deal with me and take over my life. And going into college, I felt like confident in my ability to manage situations and be an adult. I mean, freshly 18, like, you really don't know that much. As much as I'd like to sit here and say that I know so much and like knew so much at that time, like, I didn't. But going into my freshman year of college, I was raped and sexually assaulted by a guy, a stranger, someone that knew nothing about me and I knew nothing about them. And that threw all of the work that I had been putting in to better myself and better my mental health down the garbage disposal, through the gutter, and into another universe. Like, it was non-existent. When you go through something unimaginable, like, picking up the pieces is something that you're never trained to do. Like, you know, you hear these horror stories on the news, but you never know that this is something that could actually happen to you. And I know it's cliche to say, like, oh, it'll never happen to me. Like, but, like, truly, like, I never thought something like that would ever happen to me. Like, I did the right things. I was smart. I was very aware. I took care of myself. And, you know, you never think that. You never hear that this awful stuff happens to someone that does the right things. Like, you hear all these horror stories, and like, they don't ever talk about like the other side of things. No one deserves that. When you go through something unimaginable, there is no picking yourself up, because no one ever teaches you in school how to get through this. No one ever sits you down and is like, hey, this is going to happen to you. This is what you're going to do, and it's going to be okay. Like, in that moment, my life was over. Like, I remember sitting in my bed that night and thinking that I don't think I will ever be able to get over this. Like, my life is over. And just in the days after that, I was so ashamed and so embarrassed, and I didn't want to tell anyone because, you know, I felt like it was my fault. I blame myself. I mean, even though it obviously was not my fault, and I can tell you that now, but in the moment, I was like, this is my fault. Like, it's my fault for being there. But at the end of the day, like, it wasn't my fault. And that's something that took me a lot of time to get to, a conclusion that took me a lot of time to get to. But in the months after that, I was a mess. I mean, I had lost myself completely. That version of myself that I had built up and finally understood was gone. And, like, looking in the mirror, I didn't even recognize who I was anymore. And, like, how do you move on from that? I mean, there really is no right answer. I mean, I can't sit here and be like, this is how you move on from it. I went through this, and this is how you get over it. Like, I think for every person, it's different. For me, it was finding strength in community and the people that I love. I think latching onto them. But, I mean, it's hard when no one understands what you're going through, when no one understands the pain that you feel and how disgusting you feel with yourself, even though you did nothing wrong and everyone's like, it's not your fault, it's not your fault. But you can't control the way that you feel. I will say that I stayed quiet about it for a long time, probably about 6 months, until a very wise adult that I've had in my life for a while said to me, like, if you don't speak up about this, you're never going to get over it. Like, this will haunt you for the rest of your life. And I think that was, like, the kick in the butt that I needed. Like, Hayden, this way that you feel, the way that you feel right now is not going to go away unless you tell someone what happened. No, it's not easy. No, that's not what you want to do. Like, it's embarrassing. You don't want to tell people. You don't think people are going to believe you. Well, at least tell someone. Like, you never know what could happen. You know, this could change someone's life. And if it's not for yourself, do it for someone else. Do it for another girl that went through the same exact thing. Another guy that went through the same exact thing as you. Like, do it for them. And I did it for them. I, you know, told someone what happened, and yeah.
When you were talking about, like, in the beginning, saying that, like, nothing can prepare you for the trauma that you face, especially an atrocity like this, you know, it goes back to, I think, everybody that's been on this podcast as well, that, and everybody that's going to be on the podcast, is that when, like, the trauma that you face is never, you know, it's never planned. You never wake up one day and have, like, a plan, a script written out for the rest of your life that's saying you're going to go through this, and that, like, you always have to be kind of self-aware that you're not invincible, that, you know, these things that you hear about can always happen from, you know, like you said, you would never think someone that took care of themselves and everything like that would ever have to face something like this. And, you know, same goes for people that suffer with injuries and everything, is that, you know, they never, like you said, trauma just never, like, someone that stretches, does everything possibly to stay fit, an injury's bound to happen. And so, same thing with yours, is like, you just never, you can't plan for it, and you can't stay in, you can't think you're invincible to having the stuff. And then, you know, going back to, like, how you're feeling with, like, feeling this is your fault, and I think it can speak for a lot of victims of the same type of thing, is that, you know, I think it sounds like a lot of people feel the same way. And that also brought a good point, is that the trauma that you face, your own trauma, that, like, you can have people come up to you and be like, it's not your fault, I'm sorry that's happened, it's, like, you can win something, like, all this stuff. It's like, I mean, it's not your trauma, so it's hard to kind of get that feeling out. You know, for you to be able to, you know, push through this and push through this atrocity, where did you find your best support?
I mean, it's hard because I definitely felt a lot of support from the people that I love, like my family and my close friends. But at the same time, I also felt really distant from everyone I loved because, I mean, luckily, no one, you know, in my family or my close friends when this happened had ever experienced anything like this. So it was very isolating to go through this trauma and have not one person that you know how you feel. Like, I think for the longest time, I just wanted someone to be like, I know exactly how you feel and it's going to be okay. But no one could say that to me. Like, my mom could be like, it's going to be okay. Like, you're going to get through this. So, like, how do you know? You haven't been through this. And it was so frustrating, and I would just get so frustrated because I'm like, you don't get it. Like, you don't get it. And it's not your fault that you don't get it, but you don't get it. So I think, like, a lot of the support I found was through new people that I had met. I met a very close friend. I'm not going to say her name in here because I didn't ask, but through a sorority, and she was the only person that got me, like, the only person that got what I was going through. I bonded to her in a way that I never had before. I think a trauma bond is something that, like, again, no one prepares you for, and it's a different kind of bond. Like, when you meet the first person who understands what you've been through and is here for you and supports you, like, unconditionally, and is, like, you know, your age, like, gets these feelings that you're having, like, it's, like, undeniable. Like, you just latch onto that. And I did. And that is the support that I got. Like, at school, that was my support system. Like, that's who I had in the beginning. And, you know, eventually I met my current boyfriend, who is a godsend and has helped me through absolutely all of this as well. So I would say that I found a lot of the support at school. I met a lot of people that, you know, were there for me unconditionally and, like, supported me in that time. And I think that is what got me through it, honestly. And I also found a lot of support in myself, a lot of strength in myself over time, though.
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's interesting that, you know, you went back to people at your school, given that, you know, this obviously occurred at school. You know, I think for you to have the strength and the, you know, ability to go find people and trust people back at your school, it's for some support, I think it's just, you know, inspirational, because I think a lot of time people probably, like, they're probably like, I want to get away from everybody, like, from that area, because it's like, I just don't want to do anything with that. And so for you to find, you know, your way back and find someone connected through school, I think it's just super cool and, like, I think super inspirational.
Yeah, and I think that, like, my parents pushing me to rush really helped, because right after what happened, I was like, my life is over. I want to go home. I never want to walk outside my dorm again. Like, I want to isolate myself and never talk to anyone again. And I definitely think, like, my parents pushing me, like, helped a lot. And I don't think that I would have left my dorm if it wasn't for them. And I don't think I would have rushed. Like, I wanted to drop out. Like, I didn't want to meet new people. Like, I didn't want to give my trust to new people. I gave my trust to someone and they tossed it out the window, tore it in half, and stomped on it. And how was I ever supposed to give it to someone again? Even if it's, like, barely giving it to them, like, how am I even supposed to, like, talk to someone again? And rushing definitely got me out of my comfort zone, like, talking to, like, thousands of girls, basically, and getting to know them and then joining the sorority that I'm in. Like, that's really where I found, like, a support system. Like, I found an army that, like, rallied behind me.
Yeah, for sure. And to go into kind of lean to the next question, you know, you've kind of already talked about it, how you, like, the moment that you kind of knew something was off, you know, mentally. I mean, obviously this thing, it's not like it's a ongoing injury or something, like, an instant thing. And so, I mean, I guess when did you know you kind of started, like, almost, I don't put the term spiraling, but kind of just going, you know, out of your own self?
I think that the moment I started spiraling was the moment I decided that I was going to pretend this didn't happen. I think that it's so much easier to avoid things that happen to you and, like, to act like it didn't happen. Like, that is so much easier than, like, dealing with it. And, like, for me, it was, like, I, like, will sit on here and say I'm such an avoidant person. I avoid my problems. I avoid conflict. Like, when something bad is happening in my life, I isolate myself and hide, because I just don't handle conflict well. I mean, as simple as that. And I think that, like, for this, it was like, if I pretend it didn't happen, then in some twisted way it didn't happen. And if I sit in my bed every night and be like, yeah, I'm fine, like, I'm totally fine, I went to college, nothing happened, I'm ready to meet people, like, that's, I was gonna get over it. And, like, in my head, I worked it up to that, like, being what was gonna work for me. And that was the moment where I started spiraling, because if anyone has ever tried to avoid something this big, you realize that it is not going anywhere. No matter how hard you act like it is not going anywhere. And it's going to be in the back of your head with every single person that you meet. And it's going to be in the back of your head, and you're with every single trigger and every single thing that passes by, like, it's always going to be there. And if you avoid it, like, that's when the spiraling starts to happen. And I think that's where I kind of lost control of my life, I feel like.
I mean, and when you're saying, like, when you knew something was wrong and you were trying to hide it, what would you say to the viewers and listeners that you know, are hiding some sort of pain or something like, or some sort of trauma, like, what would be your kind of like advice to that, to someone like that is either like I said, that's hiding something or not even hiding or just protecting themselves from, you know, like the other possibilities of what could happen with it?
I would say, first off, you have a home with me. I understand exactly how you feel. I understand, like, more than I could even verbalize, like, I get you. And I would say, secondly, tell someone, even if it's your best friend, even if it's your dog, like, tell someone. Like, holding on to that by yourself is not fair. You do not deserve to carry that burden by yourself. Tell your fish, tell someone, talk to someone. You are not alone. Trauma is so isolating and trauma is so lonely, and it can feel so lonely. Like, you feel like you have no one to talk to. You feel like no one gets it. No one gets what you're going through. You are not alone. And I never would have found support in people, and I never would have found people to help me get through this if I didn't talk to them. Just because something awful happened to you doesn't mean you can't trust again and doesn't mean you can't open up to people again. And I think that's something that was so twisted in my head. It was like, this awful thing happened and I will never trust someone again. You can't live your life like that. You can't. And I think that if you are holding this burden by yourself, like, it just will send you into a spiral. And I know everyone handles things differently, and some people prefer to deal with things on their own, but trauma is something that needs to be talked about. And like, I hope like my story can help someone gain the courage to tell someone. Like, tell me, guys, my DMs are open. Like, so many people, like, after everything that happened to me and I started to open up about it, like, so many people have reached out to me. Like, I will be the person. I will listen to you. I will help you through it. Like, I know how it feels, and I never want anyone to feel how I felt and how alone I felt. Like, I will be the person. I listen and I give advice, and I listen and I don't judge. Like, plain and simple. Like, just find that person. Everyone has that person if you look for them. Like, even if it is your dog, like, I'm so serious, talk to someone. Like, don't hold it in. You don't deserve that burden.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think and I think holding it in, I know it's hard to say. I know it's hard, you know, I've been through it as well, as holding it in and not telling. It just creates so many more problems down the line. You know, those emotions begin to, you know, overcrowd you, overstimulate you. You become irritable, angry, sad, depressed. Like, it's just, you have, eventually your body just becomes, you know, wants to just shut down because you have nowhere to go anymore. And so I know it sucks. It's really hard to tell someone, like even Hayden said, like, just talk, write it down, talk to your dog, like anything like that. It just makes such a difference in the long run, because at least you're getting it out in some way. And eventually, I think, after you tell it more and more, you start opening up more outlets, I think it's going to become like that trauma is just going to start slowly going away, or just, you know, kind of, it's going to start, you know, changing for the better. Because yeah, me and Hayden were both able to do that, fortunately, you know, with her trauma, with my trauma, just the difference in, you know, happiness and difference in, you know, almost like a reward. It's just, you just got to take that first step and opening up to something or someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, for me, something that helped was, like, at first talking to strangers. Like, people that I know I'm never going to talk to again. Like, literally just getting it off my chest. Like, some of the first people that I told what happened to me, like, I literally haven't talked to since. Like, it was something where it was like, this is so, like, overweighing me. Like, I need to get it off my chest. I told them. They were like, oh, wow, that's like, that really sucks. I was like, yeah, it does. And then we moved on and never talked about it again. Like, sometimes just like getting it off your chest, like, changes everything.
Yeah, completely agree. You've touched on this basically multiple times. I mean, how did your sense of self kind of change, like your trauma and your trauma, how did it kind of change your sense of self?
Yeah, I mean, it took away my sense of self. Like, I was a stranger living in a body that I didn't want anymore, didn't recognize anymore. And, like, for the longest time, like, I just wanted to, like, get rid of it. Like, I didn't want this body. I didn't want this life anymore. Like, what I had been through is not something that anyone should ever have to go through. And, like, I just turned 18. Like, I'm so young at this point. And, like, I'm trying to figure out who I am. Like, as an 18-year-old woman, like, I'm trying to figure out who I am. Like, I just went to college, and, like, you're telling me the night before my first day at college, like, this happens, and, like, I'm literally, like, a walking tomb. Like, I am not myself. Like, whoever the self that I thought I was before what happened was gone. Like, completely gone, and, you know, after this trauma, like, and after I finally spoke up, like, it was, how do I rebuild myself in a way that's stronger and more resilient?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, like, with the mental health tolls, I think a lot of people start struggling with, you know, the fact that they're kind of, you know, they don't feel like themselves anymore, and so they just want to get rid of, they just want to be done, get rid of, give up and everything. And, you know, you gotta push through to the best of your ability, because, you know, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, even if you can't see it. For the next question, I love this question, just based off of Nava and Natalie's answers. What was the hardest emotion for you to face?
Acceptance. I know that may be, like, a little different than what some people may expect from me. Sorry. But I would say acceptance is still the hardest emotion that I had to face, and I still continue to face. Like, being able to look myself in the mirror and be like, yeah, this happened to me. This is what happened to me. Yeah, it really freaking sucked. This is how I'm going to move on. This is how I'm going to make it better, or try to make it better. Accepting something unthinkable is one of the hardest things that you will ever have to do. Accepting something that you never imagined in your wildest nightmares could happen is like accepting that pigs can fly. Like, how do you do that? How do you sit and accept, like, that this happened to me? And that is, like, the hardest emotion that I have faced and continue to face. Like, I'm still working every day to accept that this is what happened, and this is how I'm going to move on.
Yeah, I like that emotion, because a lot of people don't think about acceptance, you know. I think it's maybe, like, almost an overlooked emotion, especially with trauma. And so I definitely like the way that you tied that in. You know, acceptance is, I think, a really important part of, you know, getting through trauma. I feel like it probably is a very long and grueling part, based off of everything you've been going through. What felt like the most misunderstood part of the whole thing?
I think the most misunderstood concept with just sexual assault in general is that you have to be wearing a certain thing, you have to be doing a certain thing, you have to be in a certain state of mind in order for this to happen to you. And that is the biggest load of crap, excuse my language, that I...
We're good. Yeah, all right, now. All right, keep on going.
I was saying this... The idea that it's about what you're wearing, where you are, the state of mind you're in, is the biggest piece of crap that I've ever heard. That's ridiculous. And anyone who tells you that really needs to do some reflecting on their own, because that's not true at all. And I think, like, after, so many people were like, how did this happen? Like, how did you let this happen? What do you mean, how did I let this happen? I did not let this happen. This has nothing to do with me or what I was doing. This has everything to do with a man-child, and not even a man-child, a thing-child. And that's all. Like, I think people misunderstood and took it as, you know, that I was putting myself in that situation, and people get this all the time. Oh, it's what she was wearing. It's what they were doing. No, that's not true at all. And I think that is, like, the biggest misconception in general, and it's something that I faced a lot, like, with pressing charges with this situation.
Yeah, and I think it's almost that stereotype is, you know, the stereotype for people that go through this sense of this type of trauma is that, you know, it's what the girl is wearing, it's what the they were doing or who their personality is, but in realist it's not. And it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You could have been wearing a trash bag. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, like you said, a thing child that, you know, doesn't belong. Decides to take it upon themselves to do this. Were there times where you felt like giving up, you know, through this whole process?
Is every day an option? Because every day, not just giving up on this, just giving up in general. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like who I'd become. I didn't like who the trauma had made me. I didn't like the angry and sad person that I had become. Like, I was so hopeless. Like, I did not think that it was going to get better, and I was holding on to this secret and not telling anyone, and I was so exhausted. Like, holding on to something like this, like, tears you apart and wears you down to the point of, like, no return. And that's how I felt. Like, I felt like the way that I felt was never going to get better. And I mean, it took a lot of strength to overcome that, and a lot of, like, I need to get out of this state of mind. Like, there are people that love me. There are people that need me here. There is a brighter future for me than right now. Like, the pain that I feel right now is so temporary, and even though it feels like it's going to last forever, like, it isn't. Nothing lasts forever. Literally nothing. And so my pain that I feel right now is not going to last forever. And I'm going to get out of this. And that's something I had to tell myself every day. And that's honestly the truth. Like, I had my lowest lows where I wanted to give up. And I had my highest highs where I finally realized that there's so much more for me to live in this world. And I have my family and people that love me. And so many people that would absolutely be devastated if I was gone. And focusing on that and less on the pain that I was feeling is really what got me through those times.
I completely, like, the statement that says, like, pain is just temporary, I think is should be echoed more often, especially in mental health and youth mental health, is that, you know, it may feel like the end of the world, that, like, this is the worst thing that's, like, this is horrible, that you're not going to get through it, but, like, pain is temporary, and, you know, you're going to keep on battling, you're going to keep on pushing, it's going to be brought up over and over again, and you just got to keep on pushing through and, you know, persevering, because pain is temporary, and so is everything, like Hayden said, and so it's just, it's your ability to, you know, persevere and, you know, bounce back and just keep chugging along, even in the darkest times.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you have your first heartbreak and you think the world is over and you will never love anyone ever again. And then someone comes along and shows you that that is not true at all and you will love again. And that's exactly how it was. Like, anytime I felt like there was no hope for me and that nothing was going to get better, like, I have to remind myself that there is something better. Like, there is a plan for me. There is a path that is laid out, set in stone for me. and I need to keep walking it. Like, there's more for me in this world.
Yeah, and I agree. Like, there's always a path, and that's something that, you know, pushed me as well through, is that, you know, obviously you said that there's people like that, you know, I mean, there's going to be so many people, if you did end up, you know, if you weren't here anymore, it'd be devastating. Like you said, it goes for both of us in that sense. And, you know, it's just, what helped you, you know, start healing, and becoming, you know, yourself again, or your new sense?
I'd say for me, like, speaking up about what happened, like, I felt like when I spoke up and told people what happened, like, I gained my voice back, and I started to regain a new sense of self, maybe not the sense of self that I had before, but a new sense of self, someone more resilient, and that wasn't going to put up with people's crap and wasn't going to let people walk all over them. Because I know this thing child thought that he was going to get away with it and thought that I was too scared to say anything because I was this little freshman girl that knew nothing. And you know what? That may be true. But he learned real quick that he was not going to just get away with it. And I think that's what gave me my voice back and helped me start to heal. And healing is not linear. Like, healing is all over the place. Healing is a spiral. It's a roller coaster. It is never complete. Like, it's been almost 2 years since this happened, and I'm still healing every single day. I still go to therapy every week. I still have to put in the work. Like, it doesn't get easier. I mean, that's why healing is so important, because, like, it will take you through the rest of your life. Like, if you push something back and you choose not to heal from it, it isn't going to get better. And that's what I learned. And, like, when I started to make those jumps to start to heal, and I started to speak up and tell people what happened and help people, I think helping people was, like, a big thing. That's always been something that is close to my heart, helping people. And when I started to use my voice to help people, it showed me that there's a purpose for me in this world. Like, this awful, horrendous, disgusting thing that happened to me is going to be used to change someone's life one day. And I can do that. Like, I can manage that. I can make that happen.
Yeah, and I completely agree with what you're saying, is that, you know, like you said, healing is not linear whatsoever. It's, like you said, it's a roller coaster, and you go up, you go down, you go even further down, you go very, very high up.
Yeah.
But but there's never a time where it's a straight line. Even when it seems like, you know, it's plateauing, you're still either increasing a little bit or decreasing a little bit. There's just never a straight line. And that's just how trauma works and how healing works. And also, you know, you were saying about the, you know, there's a sense of purpose, there's a path that, you know, is made for you. And yeah, I completely agree with that, you know, if you're separated from your main passion, you're separated from your old self, like, there's always a new thing for you to find, there's a new purpose for you to find, new things for you to, you know, try. And, you know, that's also part of healing. It's just that you got to be willing to find that, you know, those next steps.
Yeah, there is someone that needs to hear your laugh and needs to see your smile.
Was there someone or something that helped you heal?
I think there was, like, a lot of someone. But I would say the biggest... I think there was, like, a lot of someones. I would say the biggest person that, like, had the biggest part of my healing process would be, like, meeting Ben. He, like, showed me what, like, healthy love is supposed to be like, and not even just healthy love, like, healthy friendship, and just, like, unconditional love and support, and stood by me at my absolute lowest and my absolute best. He's been there with me through everything, never judges me, never just lets me be whatever I need to be in that moment. And finding someone that, like, wants me to feel good has helped me like want to feel good. And his like unwavering support and love has just helped me find that love in myself. And a lot of times people like say, you need to love yourself before you love someone else. But I didn't love myself when I met him, and I was very much anti-relationship because I didn't like myself. I didn't love myself. And meeting him taught me how to love myself. And he's just been such a big part of my healing and such a big support system that, I don't know, like, I wouldn't be where I am without him. I think he saved my life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it's definitely interesting on how, you know, one person kind of, because it wasn't even on purpose you met him. It was just like purely on accident.
Yeah, it was accidental circumstances.
Yes. Was like you obviously weren't looking for anybody, and you just magically found him, which was obviously a blessing in disguise. So definitely, like, it's definitely interesting on how like one person or one thing can kind of change the course of like a healing thing. Our healing process.
Yeah.
Was there something that you found surprising about your healing process, whether that was yourself or, you know, something physically or something like that?
I think just like how all over the place healing can be. Like one day you can feel like you're on top of the world, and then the next you can feel like you're starting over from the beginning. I think that was like very surprising for me. Like healing from this huge thing that happened to me really made me like realize how difficult healing can be and how much work it takes. Like, it takes a lot of work. Like, you have to want it. Like, you have to want to feel better, and you have to want to do better in order to make those steps and make that growth. And I think it is all over the place, and that's okay, because at the end of the day, like, I feel so much better with myself now than I did a year ago, and that means that I'm healing.
Yeah. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest rewards about healing in general. Even though, like you said, you can feel at one moment like you're back where it started, and then at one moment you can feel at an all-time high. But at the end of the day, especially towards, you know, progressively getting better, it's definitely, I feel like, a lot like a bigger reward when you start feeling that way and like start kind of, you know, transitioning into this like new sense of self.
Yeah, like starting to feel like myself again.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any moments where you catch that you kind of feel like your old self, or like something that you might have not done, like your old self might have not done worse?
Yeah, well, I'll start with a huge one. My old self never would have switched to nursing. I literally had my career planned out since like, what, seventh grade. I wanted to be an occupational therapist. I wanted to work with kids with special needs. That was like what I wanted to do. I did an internship. I had so many job opportunities. Like, I really, like, that was what I wanted to do. I was like settled on it. I loved it. I mean, that still holds a special place in my heart. But I don't know, something changed with this whole situation. Like, something in me shaped and was like, I think that I'm meant to help a different group of people. I mean, like, I love working with kids with special needs, and that will always, like, be a passion of mine, but I think that, like, my calling is meant to help other people, and that's why I'm studying to be a SANE nurse, which is a sexual assault nurse examiner, to help other people that went through something similar to me reclaim their lives. And my old self literally was terrified of nursing. Like, so many people have been like, you would be such a good nurse, like, going to nursing, and I'm like, I hate blood, like, I hate bodily fluids, like, I can't do it. And then I started to realize that being a nurse isn't about blood and bodily fluids, it's about helping people, and literally every day of your life is going to be changing someone's life. And yeah, my old self never would have done that. I was terrified of it. And I feel like I step outside my comfort zone more and, like, push my boundaries. Like, things that I never thought that I would do, like, I do now. Like, I want to travel more and study abroad and, like, regain, like, independence. And just things that, like, I never thought I could do, like, I now have, like, the confidence and faith in myself to do. I ran for council in my sorority. I'm on council in my sorority. Like, if you ask me, like, when I joined my sorority, even like freshman year, if I would have been able to do that, I would have been like, you're crazy. Like, that's not for me. Like, I just have so much more confidence and sense of self.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting is that, you know, I think we're going to see this repetition throughout the podcast when talking with different people, is that there's something that's going to align back with, like, their trauma. So for you, you know, being a sane nurse and how your career kind of, you know, switched around in order to kind of, you know, almost benefit yourself in, like, the healing process by doing something that you went through and also helping other people heal. And then, you know, for me, want to be, like, an orthopedic hip surgeon because of my hip. Then you have, you know, Natalie, who created her own club for youth mental health based off her traumas. And then Nava, who's using math and all these different skills in order to, you know, better benefit herself due to her traumas and finding her new pathways. So I just think it's so interesting and so, like, inspiring to hear different people and how they benefited from, like, some sort of trauma and how, like, it's, like, changing their pathway almost.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And then also, I think the independence part was super interesting as well, is that, you know, I mean, obviously I'm your brother, so I know you better than anybody, but I definitely just, like, you're wanting this sense of independence is definitely shown a lot over the past year, just getting out, doing different things with the sorority, you know, wanting to study abroad, doing your CNA, like, everything, all like that, just been super inspirational to watch because you've been through basically hell, so.
Trauma changes you, and, like, it's kind of your choice whether you want it to change you for the better or the worse, and my goal is to have it change me for the better. I mean, there's a lot of ways that I would say it changed me for the worse, but I'm working to make it change for the better.
If you could go back in time and talk to yourself when going through these issues, what would you say? Or what would you almost, like, prepare your, like, old self for? Even if we're going back to, like, when you were 5, like, something that, you know, you could tell yourself to kind of almost prepare or, you know, help work through these issues better.
I would say that it's all going to work out. Trust yourself. Hold the people close that make you feel good. It's okay to cut people out when they hurt. It's okay to not be okay is a big one. Like, it's okay to feel, and it's okay to show that you're not okay. We live in a culture where social media, you have to be smiling and happy, and, like, I do it too. Like, I mean, if you look at my Instagram from freshman year, like, I'm posting all these pictures of me smiling at football games, at, you know, sorority events, and I'm like, you would never know that I'm at my absolute lowest. And I think that, like, that's a big thing, and it's okay to show how you're really feeling. Like, it's so exhausting to fake it. Like, they say fake it till you make it. Like, no. Like, be real. Be genuine. And it will get you so much further. And I think the biggest thing is, like, it really all will work out for you. Someone once told me that, like, there is a plan and it will all work out for you. And, like, everything happens for a reason. But I think reframing that, like, everything happens for you. Everything that happens in life, whether good, bad, in between, like, it happens for you and for your personal growth. And, yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, yeah. As we wrap up this episode, what are some things, or one thing, depending on what you want to say, what would you want, like, the listeners to take away from your story, and something that's obviously just going to be important for the listeners to know?
I would say that, like, if anyone has been through anything similar, like, obviously I'm sorry. Like, I wish that no one else would ever relate to anything that I've talked about. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. Like, if I were to say a few things, kind of similar to my last question, like what I told myself is what I would tell other people, like what I would go back and tell myself. Like, everything is going to be okay. Like, this pain that you feel right now is temporary. These feelings that you feel right now are temporary. Hold on to people that feel good and make you feel good and allow you to be yourself. And your trauma does not define you. What you have been through does not define you, and it does not define the person that you are. And it really is okay not to be okay. I mean, I say that so much, like, and I wish someone told me that, like, when I was going through this, like, feel the things that you need to feel. Get help. Like, I was so against, like, getting help, and I was like, I'm fine, like, I'll be fine. But, like, I would not be where I am if I did not get help. Like, I needed help, and I would not have made it if I did not get help. Like, find someone to talk to. Like, there's so many, like, free services that you can use to find people to talk to, like, therapy, and even, like, hotlines. Like, just talk to someone. Like, if you feel, like, hopeless or just, like, you have nothing else to give, like, take it one day at a time. I think that's, like, a big thing that when I'm really struggling, it's like one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. Like, it's the little things. Like, look at the little things in life. Like, look at the sunshine or a pretty flower. Like, enjoy the little things in life and let that carry you through the days when you just don't feel like doing it anymore. And you are stronger than you will ever believe. Trust me, you can get through hard things. You will never know your own strength, but trust me, you've got it in you. But yeah, thank you guys for kind of listening to my story, and I hope that this reaches someone who needs it.
Yeah, I definitely hope so too. And before we end, I wanted to touch on one thing. You were talking about the trauma. I think I've heard the quote repeated multiple times by therapists, by my aunt, by, you know, adult figures. It's like the phrase goes, don't let trauma define you, but you define trauma. Because, you mean, that's just, you don't let the trauma define who you are, and you need to make your own, you know, you need to make your own way. So
yeah,
you take your trauma and define it. So
yeah, I love that.
All right, so that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Bye.